Ways. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Hey, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, with love, laughter, and lessons learned. And as always, is my best friend and my co-host and my sidekick, hey, Lynn.
Hi, Lenny. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. Happy day.
Happy day. Not a happy day, though, because you're not here with me, but at least you're calling in, which is a good thing.
Yes, I miss you.
I miss you, too. I think a lot of people miss their families and friends during this time, but you know what? I'm meeting new people in my complex where I live because most of the people that I know are the seniors, but now
and
people aren't
lonely.
Going to work, right?
They're lonely. I'm tired of seeing nobody. I went to my sister's last night because she wasn't answering the phone, and I was very nervous.
Oh.
Scared the heck out of her, but her phone wasn't working, and she didn't answer herself. She wouldn't even let me in the house.
My goodness.
I know. I just stood outside and said, okay, you're fine.
Yeah, just as long as you know it's fine. And a lot of people are doing those messages through windows, through email, through wherever. Just trying to let their loved ones know they're okay.
Yeah, Palm Hill has a thing they put out on our emails and said to make a big sign tomorrow and put it out for Easter.
Oh, that's nice. I saw some neighborhoods, too, like putting out stuffed animals. People bring stuffed animals. You know what? Anything we can do to just make it not so scary, I think, is wonderful.
Yeah, you know what I did?
What?
I took the bunny ears you and I usually wear on the Easter show, and I put them on Horace, my big turtle outside.
Oh, and you see now, because you're not here today, I have no bunny ears on.
I know.
I see, I can't do without you, Lynn.
I know, I miss you, honey, but have a great show.
All right, and we'll chat later.
We will.
All right, love you.
Love you back. Bye-bye.
Bye. So we have some guests, special guests calling in today. We have Dr. David Bernstein, who has been on the show before. And we also have Brian LeBlanc and Marianne Rulison. Brian's been on the show, too, and we're going to talk about We Are Dementia Strong in the second half of the show. But first, I want to give a shout-out to our new listeners. We have Jennifer in Ohio, Kendall in Pinellas Park, and Annette in Pennsylvania. And as Lynn would say, welcome, ladies. So we're glad you're here. Just want to let you know, if you come across any kind of price gouging, you can go to 866-9-NO-SCAM and report that. 866-9-NO-SCAM, because that's terrible if people are trying to price gouge. And one last thing, if you need some emotional support, there's a phone number in Pinellas County, 727-524-4464, extension 1001. They're open from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. So that's 727-524-4464. 4464 extension 1001. So if you feel like you need some support, please reach out. Dr. Bernstein, are you here with me?
I am. Good morning, Linda.
How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks. How about you?
Joyful and grateful. A little lonely, but joyful and grateful.
And how is your arm coming along?
11 more days I get the cast off. Yay! My first broken bone in 66 years, and I have realized that I am not a good patient.
Ooh.
So I'm very happy that all in all I'm pretty healthy, because this was a whole new learning curve, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, you know, those of us who do practice medicine do suffer things from time to time and then gain the experience of what it's like to be a patient.
Well, it's very funny. You know, people come into my support groups and they say, oh, mom's repeating the same thing to me 20 times a day. And I always touch them on the arm and say, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is and that's the way it's going to be, and try to be patient. And then a couple months ago, my brother came to visit who has Parkinson's. Oh, I got reminded really quickly. He kept asking me things, and he wanted me to fax something, and I don't even have a fax machine, so I think it just brings me back to where my caregivers are.
What we do sometimes.
Yeah, what we do. So what's going on with you and your patients and everything during this pandemic? What good news do you have to tell us here?
I can share a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
One is There is one of my patients had a severe episode of COVID. He's one of my dearest, he's a patient and one of my dearest friends. Mm-hmm. And he has followed the track and is recovering now of people who do really badly. He's been taken care of in the intensive care unit in an excellent way. He has demonstrated all of the serious complications that can occur with this disease. And as I kept up on seeing his progress, and I haven't been taking care of him, but I have access to his record in the hospital.
Right.
So moment by moment, I can see what's going on. And what I know and what should comfort our listeners, or your listeners, is that there are scientists working incredibly hard and recognizing all of these different complications and coming up with ways of treating them. So while we do feel that we're behind the eight ball and behind the wave and trying to catch up, there are people who've had experiences in other cities and other countries that have shared their wealth of knowledge and what they've seen so that people are making adjustments on the fly.
Yeah.
As a couple of examples, I didn't know until my patient had it, and then I started reading an article about the fact that blood potentially gets more coagulable in COVID.
Oh.
And it needs to be treated as something that I don't think most people know about. And then the respiratory, the acute onset of this is like the acute onset of sepsis. So that my patient was sitting at home recovering. And I spoke to him at 4 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock, he was in the emergency room.
Wow.
Because there's an abrupt release of chemicals in this process that create very high fevers and respiratory failure. And then the third thing that's really kind of interesting, we've talked about ventilators and the need for ventilators.
Yeah.
There may not be as much of a, there is a need for respiratory treatment, but the ventilators may actually be stronger than are needed. And they may be able to get by with something that doesn't require the intensity of the respirators and ventilators that people have been talking about. So that's kind of a good thing. And it's a good thing that people are sharing this information because doctors down here are learning from people in other cities and states and have been able to put that into practice. And my patient, though he's had these different setbacks, has recovered, and he's turning around, and that's a great thing for me and my friend.
Of course.
It's great for us as a community to know that we're responding to the virus with great scientific knowledge. The other thing that I would share with our listeners today is how to manage our lives under this situation.
You know,
I've had to make changes in my life and what we do in my office, and we've been instructed on how to take precautions, and people are staying out of work. And my wife is a wonderful human being, and so she makes sure that when I go to work, I have a special scrub suit on, and I take it off as soon as I get in the house, and I'm washing my hands, and
right.
taking all kinds of precautions. And then there's the issues associated with your caregivers about how to manage their lives and their stress as if they're not stressed enough.
Exactly.
You know, probably the biggest thing that you have to deal with is caregiver stress and caregiver burnout. And
caregiver isolation.
Yeah, and you're dropping one more log on the fire.
Yeah.
So I wrote a blog about this and addressed some of the components of things that we can do. And before I forget, I'll mention one that came to me this morning. And I'm sure you would agree that being in nature is really helpful.
Yes.
You know, and so that anybody who has a garden who could work outside and walk amongst the trees and flowers and prune their bushes or whatever little things that they can do so that they're with a different living creature, it may not be a human, but to be out in their garden, in their yard, in fresh air.
Well, we're so very blessed to live where we live. I mean, everyone can do that, and our parks are still open.
And where I live in Oldsmar, there must be 5 parks within a mile of my house.
Right. So
my wife and I can make a right turn and walk to one, a left turn and walk to one. We can go straight and walk to another. About 10 years ago, my mother gave me a single amaryllis bulb plant. And over the years, I've transplanted it over and over and over again. So I have about 20 that I'm supervising. So I get this beautiful pink flower that comes up all over my property now. And, you know, it just reminds me of my mother, but it also is the most beautiful flower. And I care for it and make sure that, you know, I'm doing my thing in the yard.
Well, you know, Doc, we are surrounded by beauty, but people don't recognize it. And I think this is one good part of the pandemic. As people are slowing down, they're looking. They're looking for that flower. They're looking for the sun. They're looking for that glimpse. They're looking for a neighbor. And that's a cool part of this.
And toward that end, there are a couple of times this week, there's three or four in the last week, that my wife and I have connected with family and friends via Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, Passover occurred this week, so we had a Passover Seder with our rabbi that he streamed, and when we broke for dinner, we Zoomed in with two other families that were having their dinner. So we had dinner conversation with our friends, and the next night, I got as many of the kids and family members as I could together. These are East Coast and Midwest, and with kids and fiancés and all that, and we had a Passover Seder on Thursday night, and on Friday night, we got together with our West Coast and other family members and just had dinner and cocktails.
And see, so normally that wouldn't have happened.
No, but you know what? I could see us doing that next year.
Exactly. It's very cool.
And you know, we maybe do it once a month or every 2 weeks to have a sit-down dinner or a cocktail party with our cousins and friends throughout the country so that we can all be together. The only thing that was kind of a negative with that is we couldn't all sing on Zoom at the same time. But Zoom doesn't allow you to sing in unison. It was like we cut into one and cut into another. And so finally my brother said, no, we can't be singing. You know, only one person singing at a time. So,
well, I actually did my my third online support group this morning on Zoom. And it's been very wonderful because, like I said, my caregivers are isolated enough as it is, and they're like, oh, we want our support group. So we were able to do our third one this morning on Zoom, and it was wonderful, plus some new people that I've never met before. So
Yeah, and I bet you find that, you know, that people who either physically can't get there for one reason or another, or they're distant, or they're just shy, and they don't feel that they can be in public like that, could they do that? The flip side of that is, what I've experienced in my office, this is a little funny, but we've transitioned to doing more virtual visits. And there's nothing more challenging than trying to do a virtual visit with an 85 or 86-year-old who doesn't have access to the technology. And no matter how many times we told them the technology, and we transitioned over from one system to another, and Facebook or FaceTime. And I'd say, okay, now just push that button in the middle.
No,
that button in the middle.
You know what, Doc? I have problems pushing the buttons myself, so I'm not going to complain.
Well, ditto, because my staff says, now you got to push this button to get it to go.
Exactly.
So, to me as a doctor, it's always been see one, do one, teach one. So once they showed me, I know what I'm doing, but it's not easy.
So, Doc, thanks for being here today. What's the last thing you want my caregivers to hear today?
Well, I'm going to say something really quick. To avoid stress, they should relax and practice meditation if they can. Stay informed about what's going on, but don't obsess. There's too much news on TV. Don't watch too much of it. Get your information. Get in and get out. Show gratitude and be grateful for what we have every day, just like what you and I talked about in our gardens and our friends. Staying connected with those friends that I mentioned. Okay. Maintain the healthy habits that you've had, or develop new ones since you're home. You know, get a little bit of extra exercise and eat right. Even keep a journal and write things down. You know, write things of what you're eating, what you're doing, what you're listening, how you're feeling. Those are some of the things that will go a long way in helping your listeners.
And Doc, this is what we need to do all year long, not just during a pandemic.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
And Vaughn has just told me that we have a caller in that would like to ask you a question. So hang on another minute, please.
Oh, I'd love to.
Okay, who do we have?
Hi there. It's Jan Lederman. Good morning.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Jan. I happen to know Jan.
Okay.
Yeah, I happen to know both of you too. I'm curious. Good to hear your voice, Dr. Bernstein. Thank you so much. Yeah, you were describing technologically challenged and chronologically gifted as a bad combination these days. what's the process? Thank goodness I'm fine, feeling good, but what's the process by which somebody should go through if they start feeling symptoms? And do you have tests available? God forbid somebody should get to that point. And how does that process work now?
Doc? I'll tell you how it works. I'll tell you how it works for us in our office, and this is pretty standard. Nowadays, you need a doctor's order to get tested for COVID. Now, that may change in a few weeks when there's greater availability. And we have an algorithm of questions that we ask. But I'll tell you that we'll ask about fever. How high is your temperature? So you ought to have a thermometer handy. Mm-hmm. Did this start with a sore throat? Are you having muscle aches and pains? Have you been traveling outside the country? Very few people are going to answer that affirmatively anymore. Have you had contact with anybody who's tested positive? If you've socially isolated yourself, which I know is difficult because I know you, but you can do it by phone and probably are doing a great job, and you've done that for 2 weeks, you're pretty free and clear. And the next step is making sure that when you're out in public and doing grocery shopping, that you take all the necessary precautions, wearing a mask. If you want to wear gloves, try and touch as little stuff as possible. If you're not as technologically challenged and can afford to do it, order your food delivered
yes,
to your
please.
Home so that you're in contact with very few people. Because my wife and I were intended to go to visit our kids in the early part of March, around the 11th, 12th, 13th, and we didn't go and we had a staycation. We calculated today that we've basically been socially isolated for the past month. We've been really diligent about it. Though I have been going into my office and working, I'm doing mostly virtual visits. And mm-hmm. starting Monday, it will be virtual visits for 2 straight weeks. I will see well patients in an office for a week. I will see sick patients in an office for a week. And then I'll go back sort of into quarantine and do virtual visits so that I'm protected. I'm taking all precautions.
Right.
My wife has insisted that I have a new scrub suit and I have new clothes that I
you
wear.
You have
the
a
office.
Smart wife.
I have a smart and wonderful wife, and
yes,
she really
you do.
Looks out for me. And you know, I hate to say it, that my friend's illness and how quickly he became sick was a constant reminder to me of the things that can go wrong.
Right.
And the even more challenging part about my friend is, having been my patient, he was in really good shape. There was nothing wrong with the guy. There was no reason for this to happen to him. He did travel to Peru. He did get his exposure, and he was over 65. He's 70. Other than that, the man was really quite fit.
Yeah.
And he
well,
and his
thank
wife
God
must,
he's on the road to recovery.
Yeah, he and his wife must have had a considerable exposure to have both gotten that.
Yeah.
So those are my words of wisdom, and like I said, Jan, doctors are kind of have the responsibility for writing the order, going through that algorithm, and we've done that a couple times this week.
Thanks for being here, Doc. Thanks, Jan, for calling
pleasure.
In.
My pleasure. Anytime, Linda.
We'll chat to you soon.
Thanks.
Have a delicious day.
You. Okay, you too. Bye
Bye-bye.
Now.
Bye.
Thank you.
So right now we're going to hear from our wonderful sponsors, because I don't want to cut off our next listeners. So here we go, because you know if you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211. In Pasco, call 813-280-4383 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Is the fear of falling keeping you from doing the things you love? Do you suffer from diabetic neuropathy or plantar fasciitis? VoxLife can help. Whether you're caring for someone you love or being cared for, VoxLife wearable neurotech helps your body reach its full potential. Proven to reduce symptoms of diabetic neuropathy and plantar fasciitis, VoxLife also reduces the risk of falling in adults over the age of 55 by 8 times. VoxLife is a safe, simple, drug-free solution that optimizes your neurology. The biggest breakthrough in wellness in 50 years. VoxLife offers a 30-day money-back guarantee. You can't afford not to try it. To learn more about VoxLife, go to www.voxlife.com/caregivers. That's www.voxlife.com/caregivers. They help my parents and they can help yours too.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them blue
for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute, take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
And you know the scoop, when someone asks you to help, if they can help you, say thank you very much. Well, right now we're going to talk to my next special guest, which is Brian LeBlanc and Maureen Rulison. Are you on the line?
Yes, we are.
Hello, my friends. How are you today?
We're going a little stir crazy, but I think that's pretty much everybody.
Yeah, I think so too. So Maureen and I have been friends for a long time. I only recently met Brian, and Brian was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to have them both on the show today because I think it's a whole different perspective to caregiving and dementia. They have a new initiative, We Are Dementia Strong, but after they were on the show a couple of weeks ago, I called them later on that afternoon, and we had a wonderful conversation, and We talk so seriously about everything with dementia. We think we're all like in this perfect little box, doing everything the right way. Well, I was on the phone with them, and I'm telling you, I was laughing my fanny off. Because there's a lot of different things we need to look at here. So let's chat, guys.
Well, just to let you know, in your honor, we changed out of our pajamas and put real clothes on.
Yay!
For the
interview. So. Yeah, I actually put a new cast cover on today.
Okay, well, just letting you know, we dress for the occasion.
I'm glad. See, and this just shows you, okay, so for you people that don't know, Brian is living with dementia, which we're going to talk a little bit about in a little while, but he has a sense of humor, too. And I think what happens is many times we deal with people with dementia, Alzheimer's, whatever, and we think they don't have a sense of humor anymore. They do. We just forget to bring it out in them, right?
That's the truth right there, Linda. And we forget that people don't receive a diagnosis of a dementia-related illness, and then 5 minutes later they're in long-term care. They have many, many, many years between those two events, and they have so much to give and so much life to live in between there.
Yeah, let's not shut them down early. I mean, first of all, it probably takes 5 or 6 years before you even get the diagnosis.
Yeah, I mean, I was showing signs since 2008, and I finally got diagnosed in 2014.
There you go. Because so, I think when the signs first come, you know, you just push it off like it's no big deal, and then probably, I don't know, because I don't have it, you do. As things go on, you don't want to deal with it, right?
No, you don't, because, you know, in my case, I'm fourth generation of having the disease.
Yeah, so you've seen it.
Yeah, and so I start exhibiting, you know, forgetfulness and getting lost and this, that, and the other, and I didn't want to, you know, get diagnosed, and then I got terminated from my job because I wasn't able to keep it anymore,
mm-hmm.
and that was sort of like the straw that broke the camel's back.
Right.
Well, and Linda, you know, the other thing is that, you know, appropriately so, people associate memory loss with dementia.
Right.
But there are so many other symptoms of it.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I'll give you just one example, and this is in no particular order, okay?
Right.
Anxiety. I probably need to say at this point that although Brian and I have known each other since 2015, we just got into our relationship last year.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, and even still, I have worked with many, many, many people who have dementia-related illnesses, so I'm not just talking about Brian when I talk about
right.
this. But Brian does have anxiety, and it has reared its head big time during this COVID thing. If it were just memory loss, I don't think...
It probably wouldn't phase him.
Right. I don't think that his quality of life and others' qualities of life would be as nearly as affected. Alzheimer's anger.
Yeah, can you explain a little bit what Alzheimer's anger is? Because I don't think people even talk about that much.
I'm going to let Maureen explain that, because most of the time when I go into that, I have no recollection
right.
of what happened. So.
Okay, so Maureen, talk to us.
Okay, in my non-scientific, non-medical, so everybody,
which I think is usually the best advice.
Okay. I'm going to describe my experience not only with Brian with it, but with others.
Okay.
To those of us from the outside looking in, it seems that there's absolutely no reason that sparks it.
Okay.
After Brian or others get done and I talk to them about it, there's usually something in their mind that causes them to have this feeling, usually of frustration, overwhelmedness, loneliness, fear. I've heard, I'm sure you've heard these too, Linda. And they're their go-to emotion is anger, and their go-to person to be angry with is usually the person they're closest with.
Right.
If that's, you know, a care partner who's, you know, living in the home and caring, then it's usually them. If they're in a community setting, it's whatever professional care partner right. they're closest to. It's very hard not to do two things. And by the way, I do these all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to, but I do. The first one is not to take it personally.
Yeah. That's easier said than done.
Yeah, it is, and it's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
Especially as a care partner, because the first thing you realize when they're getting angry is that something went wrong.
Well, I think there's one thing I will say is most of us that are care partners, we're older, so we've learned a few other things down the pike, because I'm much better at not jumping to conclusions now than I was when I was 30.
Well, I'm better than I was 30, but I'm certainly as good as I hopefully will be at 90. So.
But, you know, one of the things that when I say that I have no recollection, I've asked Maureen to let me know what happens during the course of a day that I may or may not remember. And one of those things is I'll notice if she's off a little bit and keeping her distance, and I'll ask her, I'll say, what's wrong? And she'll preface it by saying, now, I'm doing this because you asked me to tell you. And
right.
she tells me things, but it seems like she's talking about somebody else who came in and yelled at her and made her feel bad and this, that, and the other. So after she tells me that, then I go on the apology tour
yeah.
of, you know, trying to, but, you know, she's, yeah, you know, I'll never say that she gets used to it, but she takes it a little bit less and less every time.
Well,
and
I think you become a little more familiar with it.
Yeah, but I hate that.
Yeah.
You know? I hate that she's the one that receives the brunt of my anxiousness / anger. And especially, I mean, we're together literally 24/7.
Especially now.
Yeah. So.
So Maureen, when this happens, okay, when this anger comes out, how are people supposed to handle it? What are your suggestions? What do they do besides lock themselves in the closet?
And to anybody and everybody listening, if I can just preface what I'm about to say with, I make mistakes every day.
Me too.
And so.
This is what's working for now.
On my best day, when I'm doing my best at this, sometimes I just walk away.
Mm-hmm.
And I know not all care partners have are afforded the opportunity to do that. Sometimes I will just sit there and literally hum a song in my mind
mm-hmm.
and try not to let it show on my face to Brian, because I don't want him to feel like I'm dismissing his anger.
Right. That's tough, though.
I don't want to listen to it most of the time.
I have one caregiver, when that happens, she goes in the bathroom and closes the door and she knits. She says, when I do the knitting, it, you know, I go into another world when I do that knitting. She goes, so I just go in the bathroom for like 20 minutes and I knit. But if that works, wonderful.
Hey, if she goes out and starts buying
knitting needles,
I'm going to have an issue with you, okay?
But, Linda, sometimes I yell back.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that.
There have been a very few times, where Alzheimer's Brian has physically, you know, gotten bigger in my face,
uh-huh.
or come towards me more, or kicked a table or something like that.
Right.
And I have stood up to him and said, number one, I'm bigger than you are. So I wouldn't suggest doing that. And number two, getting physically violent with me is not a choice you want to make.
Right. Because that doesn't help anybody.
Which I've never done.
Thank you, God.
No. Yeah.
But you know what? You made a good point, Linda, in that hopefully if that ever happens, I'm going to remember that it's not a choice he's making. Alzheimer's is making it.
Yes. Yes.
We did a video on our Facebook, We Are Dementia Strong Facebook page last week called And Baby Makes Three, and the baby is dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And when I first got with Brian, I, you know, boldly and loudly told everybody who would listen how really foolish I am. I said, I'm not in love with a man who has Alzheimer's. I'm in love with Brian. Well, that was a trip down the river denial that didn't happen. So I've revised that and said, I am in love with Brian, who has Alzheimer's.
And all relationships are challenging.
That's right. And Alzheimer's is part of our relationship.
Yeah.
It's part of your dance.
Yep.
I describe it as the relative that comes over to your house to spend Christmas with you. And when Easter rolls around, they're still sleeping on your sofa. So, you know, and they're irritating as hell. So
yep.
That's kind of like what I feel, you know, but I do have good days, you know, and
yeah.
I might go a stretch of about 3 or 4 days with doing okay, but then it just kind of creeps in and...
Okay, so Brian, so people that are listening that are dealing with someone, do you feel it coming on? Is there something that the care partner can look at? Do you... I don't know. I don't even know if I'm asking the right questions.
No.
Okay.
Maureen sees it, but I don't.
And what do you see it, Maureen, through, like facial or something, or posture, yes, or what?
It's body language. It's his facial expression, but probably now this is Brian. And if you know one person who has dementia, you know one person who has dementia.
Right.
So this is Brian, not everybody. Brian talks. That's a complete statement right there. When he stops talking and he's not asleep, I know something has happened or changed.
Okay.
And I can usually tell three different things about Brian by his voice. I can tell when he's going to go into his anger.
By the tone?
Yep. I can tell when he's going to go into a fog. And I can tell when he's scared.
Well, that's very intuitive. And that's very good to know those different things. So getting into anger is one thing. Let's talk to the listeners again about getting into a fog and what you can do about that.
Okay. I don't know if I explained this during our last talk, but it's really like driving down a road and you come to a turn in the road and you hit a fog bank. When you hit that fog bank, your natural reaction is to just slow down.
Right.
And you keep going at that slow pace until you get a clearing.
And you're in it. You can't get out of it.
Right. Right. And then when you get to that clearing, you know, you speed back up. But imagine going through that three more times, or imagine doing a whole day of going in and out of that fog. So you can't control it. And I very rarely remember when I have been in the fog. But then later on, Maureen will talk to me about it. Because I've asked her to. I want to know more about myself that I can no longer learn about myself because I don't remember.
Right.
So she, I call her my bub. She's my backup brain.
Oh, I love that.
And, you know, she reminds me of so many things that, you know, I lived by myself for a number of years. And so I didn't know what was happening.
Well, especially you're all alone.
Right, right. Now, I don't have to do that anymore. And thank God, you know, she was persistent with me, and that's how we wound up together.
Yeah, she's got a little bit of stubbornness there somewhere.
You think?
And he used, kind of like he's got a little Alzheimer's thing. Yeah. I
got all right, guys, we're going to listen, hear from our partners, but when we come back, I want to talk all about We Are Dementia Strong, okay?
Yes,
ma'am.
All right, don't go away, listeners. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio, where you can find help and hope.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia or Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize every individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, their goal is to make your loved one as comfortable, independent, and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming with a unique setting of a home-like environment and 4 theme houses. It warms my heart to see how happy the residents are. Please call or stop in to talk with a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole at 727-517-7800, Largo 727-559-8411, or Palm Harbor 727-771-1600. Give them a call.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's TAN Talk Radio Network.
So, you know, when you hear that, it's usually Lynn here giving some announcements, and announcements have changed. There are no seminars going on, but I do have my online support groups going on, and there's an online support group every Wednesday night at 7:30. The second Saturday of every month at 10, and the third Thursday at 11. You can go to lindaburhans.com and find out information, or you can just email me. Also, I met with an acquaintance the other day, Deb Baker. She's an elder care attorney, and she wanted to let people know that during this time of crisis, it's most important to have a healthcare surrogate and a living will. And London Baker Law is offering to create these two documents for caregivers at no charge. So if you're interested, you can contact them at 813 813-586-1332. That's 813-586-1332. It's really important to have your documents in order. One last thing, Sages Theater, who is a nonprofit, has a show about called Denying Gravity. Falls are the number one cause of injury and death for seniors. So during this pandemic, they are offering to for you to view the show on their website. So go to www.sagestheater.org and go to the More drop-down menu, and you can see the show, and you can leave some comments. And if you have any other questions, all this information will be on my website. Okay, back to Maureen and Brian. Let's talk about We Are Dementia Strong.
Okay, it's a Facebook page right now that we, Brian and I, are developing. So it's very organic right now. We are committing to doing a live video every Saturday morning at 10, and then Brian does a blog.
Oh, good, it's before my show, thank God.
we would never dream of competing with
we people. Could lead you could we could lead right in
there you go
and then Brian writes a blog. We're trying to make those two things somehow relate to one another, but you know, if something becomes really important to Brian to write, he'll write it.
Yeah. And, what is his website again?
A bit of brianbrilliance.com.
Okay, and I'll have all this information on my show, but on my website. I think this is really important. I really think it's important that Brian is talking about this, because too many people with dementia don't talk about it.
That's what I found by, you know, I don't want to sound like I'm promoting myself, but
please do.
I feel like I still have a voice, and I have a lot of friends that are in the same boat as I am, and we speak out because we know there are a lot of people that are living with the same diseases we have in different stages, and they cannot express what they want because they no longer have the ability to do. And that, you know, that's what I face when I'm having my fog and my anxiety. I can't speak sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I tease Maureen saying that, you know, I know you probably dancing a little jig, you know, when that happens. But, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, we are Dementia Strong. It's and the reason why we said we, because
it's a team.
You know, I am not on this journey by myself.
Right.
You know, she's right there with me. She experiences in some ways the same things that I'm experiencing.
Yeah.
So we give it from the care partner and the person living with from their perspective, so that people can better understand, you know.
I think that's so important, because otherwise many times we're just hearing half the story.
Exactly. And the care partners are the ones that are shoved behind the curtain, you know?
Yeah.
And it's the person that's living with the disease, they get the spotlight. And I refuse to allow that to happen in our relationship, because people need to know, you know, not just what Maureen does for me, but what for other care partners do for their person.
Well, you know, we've talked about our friend Norm before, and I can remember one time Norm came on Facebook, and it was a Facebook Live kind of thing, and he came on Facebook, and his entire face was cut up bad. And Norm came on, and he said, you know, people don't realize what Elaine does for me. She dresses me. She shaves me. She, you know, helps me with so many different things. He goes, this morning I was too impatient to wait for her to shave me and decided to do it myself. And it was a big light bulb there.
Yeah.
You know, and I was so glad that he came out there. It gave a lot of the caregivers a little pat on the back, but it also was a conversation with other people that had dementia, because I'm excited that you're talking to people with dementia that have the same thing with you, and maybe they can get it and not lose their voice.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Linda, another thing that is a hard balancing act, whether you're the person living with dementia or the care partner, is the knowing when it's time to help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank you for bringing Norm into this, because that's a very poignant example of what I believe other care partners like myself go through daily, multiple times. We're human, number one. You know, we know that if often we're going to have the person doing something themselves, it's going to take 10 times longer.
Yeah, but who are you serving?
And number two, we know that, you know, they might get frustrated, they might do it wrong. And then I guess what I'm trying to learn is, what does it matter?
Let it be.
And what I would like to do before we run out of time.
Yeah.
I thank Maureen every single day, probably several times a day, just for doing what she does. What I would like to do right now is I would like to thank all the care partners, you know, who are listening in or who will listen in the future. I want to tell them thank you on behalf of the person that they're taking care of, because that person may not be able to tell them verbally,
right,
that, you know, thank you. So I do it for them so that they know that not only are they valued, but they are so much appreciated, because I still think that somewhere inside the mind of the person living with dementia, they so much want to thank the person that's caring for them, but they no longer have that ability. So I say thank you for all you do day in and day out.
Thank you, Brian. I now have tears in my eyes, and I'm sure that means a lot to a lot of caregivers that are listening, but we have to wrap up the show now, and as soon as we get rid of all these cooties, I'm going to have you guys live and we can really have some good conversation, and I look forward to any other ways that we can work together. I love you guys. Thanks for being on the show today.
We love you too, Linda. Thank you.
We'll chat soon.
Bye.
Okay, caregivers, so we're getting ready to wrap up the show, and I hope you learned some things today, and I hope maybe if you have a loved one with dementia, maybe you'll try to have a little more conversation with them. I think it gets a little frustrating, it gets a little difficult, and sometimes we just stop the conversations. And right now, being so isolated, we can't go out and hug other people, but if you're home with your loved one, you sure as heck can hug them. And that's such an important part of everything. So tune in next week for Connecting Caregivers Radio, where you can find help and hope. I appreciate all you caregivers for tuning in today. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Too bright and even your darkest night, you just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there.